an adventurous navigator, or of whose antecedent little is known, although most historians affirm that he would have been Genoese, arrived at the coast of what today are the Bahama Islands. The rest is history, as they say. Well, not very clearly, since that episode, as well as everything that happened to him, has been and continues to be the subject of heated controversy, so much so that even now, that anniversary does not have a name. For a long time, it was known in Latin America as the Day of the Race, something very inappropriate since there is no Hispanic American race, if that is what it was meant to signify. In some countries, it has been called Día de la Hispanidad, the Day of Hispanic Culture, as a way of highlighting the link of these countries with those who were their colonizers. This concept is also present in Spain, where October 12th is celebrated as their national day, with military parades and big events that highlight what would be the Spanish presence in the Americas. Even in Hispanophile circles, the date is exalted as part of the Spanish civilizing inheritance, a concept that today is much disputed, since evidently before the arrival of the Spaniards, there were already very advanced civilizations in the American continent. In fact, these civilizations were destroyed by the conquistadors based on their greater military power, not because they were more civilized than the native peoples. The term discovery has also been discarded for its Eurocentric connotation. In the United States, the date is called Columbus Day, even though Columbus never actually set foot on territory that would later become part of the United States. Finally, as a result of the controversy that arose on the occasion of the 500th anniversary, the term Day of the Encounter of Two Worlds was coined, apparently more neutral, but which has also been questioned, among others, by Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. And quite rightly so, since encounter presupposes a rather peaceful and even friendly instance, which the European invasion of the New World certainly was not. The conquest and subsequent colonization were a violent process marked by the destruction of entire peoples. In addition, there was also the phenomenon of African slavery imported in large numbers to work on the plantations of the new continent. Colonialism brought with it other consequences, as Eduardo Galeano has pointed out. Thanks to the exploitation of the riches of the Americas, the European powers were able to finance the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. There were also important political consequences that are still present today. Unlike the nation-states of Europe, founded by peoples who had a legitimized right to their territories, the nation-states that originated in the New World were mostly created not by the indigenous inhabitants of those lands, but by the descendants of the colonists. As a result, from Canada to the southernmost tip of the continent, and with few exceptions, indigenous peoples have been discriminated against and relegated to a situation of apartheid, if not outright exterminated. Certainly, these nation-states of the American continent are today a reality and will not disappear. But what must disappear are the colonialist vestiges that persist and are maintained by the elites of European origins in most of the countries of the continent. As long as these persist, the legacy of that nameless anniversary will continue to be one where there is not much to celebrate, but rather much to repair, to do justice to the peoples who suffered the invasion, the appropriation of their lands, the destruction of their way of life, and slavery. Good day.
Están los que resisten y nunca se lamentan, los que dicen yo para qué vivo, los que recuperan rápido sus fuerzas, los que lucran con lo que he perdido. Hay quien sucumbe y se levanta, hay quien queda allí siempre tendido, hay quien te ayuda a despegar y los que nunca te reconocen cuando estás vencido. ¿Cuántos hay que piensan que es tarde para todo? ¿Y cuántos claman siempre adelante? ¿Cuántos los que ven la piedra en el camino? ¿Y cuántos los que nunca miran nada? La alegría con la fuerza se alimenta y no hay muros ni rejas que la frenen. Hay quienes desembarcan ardiendo con un grito, sin barcos y sin armas por la vida. Hay alguien que bendiga esta hermosa comunión de los que pensamos parecido. Somos los menos, nunca fuimos los primeros, no matamos ni morimos por ganar, más bien estamos vivos por andar. Esperando una piel nueva de este sol, no pretendemos ver el cambio, solo haber dejado algo sobre el camino andado que pasó. Zapatos buscando comida en la basura, y es una postal la puerta de la iglesia de esa madre con su criatura. Mientras esto pase no habrá gloria, esa arena que se escapa entre los dedos es dolor, es mentiras, es hipocresía, es un tiempo frágil de estos días. Y ganan tiranos y verdugos. Creemos que la historia se hizo en un minuto y todo lo vivido un mal sueño. A veces somos nuestros enemigos, ensuciamos las rutas y los ríos, matamos en la guerra y en las calles hoy tenemos viejos monumentos de asesinos. Hay alguien que bendiga esta hermosa comunión de los que pensamos parecido. Somos los menos, nunca fuimos los primeros, no matamos ni morimos por ganar, más bien estamos vivos por andar. Esperando una piel nueva de este sol, no pretendemos ver el cambio, solo haber dejado algo sobre el camino andado que pasó. Hay quienes desembarcan ardiendo con un grito, sin barcos y sin armas por la vida. Thank you.
cuántas veces le escuché repetir y repetir la misma historia. Qué caído en la sensación de haberla vivido. Qué bonita la quebrada cuando florece la papa. Morado se pone todito y hay fiesta en el pueblo. Mandan sus músicos, que el arpa de Don Jesús, que el clarinete de Papá Soto, que el saxo de Calisto, y las niñas cantan y danzan alegremente. Metiendo el burro al corral, con el ichu en el lomo y el lomo de ella. Mi abuelo ya danza alegremente, chachacoca con ceniza y cal, para terminar bailando a pierna suelta. Pero qué bonito cuando el tío se pone a bailar, con traje de chuto a todo y a todos la guiguea. En revuelta, no lo dejan, no lo dejan, no lo dejan de jugar. ¡Ah! 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 ¡Ay!
¡Eso! ¡Hey, hey, 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 hey! La muerte, ja, ja, ja.
La vida.
La muerte, ja, ja, ja.
La vida.
Ay, 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 ay. La pastilla filosófica de hoy tiene que ver con esa mala fama que le hacemos a la muerte y que siempre oponemos a la vida. Cosa que es totalmente falsa. Porque si piensan bien, el proceso vida-muerte es uno solo. ¿Eh? No hay vida sin muerte. Y toda muerte es muerte de una vida, ¿no es cierto? Entonces, si amamos la vida, ¿por qué no amamos la muerte? Oh, claro, yo soy como ustedes, ¿eh? Cuando se me muere un ser querido, entro en un profundo dolor, no estoy hablando de eso. Pero si lo pensamos filosóficamente, el amor a la muerte es el amor al otro lado de la vida, ese lado que necesita de la muerte para vivir. ¿Saben que hay una muerte celular programada en nuestros cuerpos que hace que vivimos? ¿Saben que cuando se conforma nuestro cerebro, la muerte celular de muchas neuronas teje el árbol que nos va a permitir crecer, existir, tener un carácter? La muerte es esencial a la vida y obviamente tenemos que hacer morir seres para poder vivir cada día, desde la lechuga y el rabanito hasta los animales. Y no hay nada más tonto que esos ricos que no quieren morir. ¿Y si creen, oye, que el mundo los quiere, que los vamos a aguantar 300 años, 1000 años, 2000 años? Pon primera y arranca, compadre. Después de un tiempito a la tierra, es bueno dejar el lugar para que otros se metan. En todos los cuentos populares que yo conozco, la muerte no es un personaje malo. Al contrario, tiene sabiduría. Es más bien tierna. La vida no sería nada sin la muerte. Y ese proceso de vida terca que no quiere morir es el proceso mismo que hace que la muerte es necesaria. Así que mi reflexión filosófica de hoy es sobre el hecho de tiernamente aceptar la muerte, no hacer de ella un enemigo y desde ahí pues ser más vivos, trabajar más para existir, hacer de la vida un proceso más alegre. Quien teme a la muerte en realidad teme a la vida y busca protegerse y perdurar en su ser. Yo no quiero perdurar en mi ser. Me parece que la idea de vida eterna es la peor tontería que hemos inventado, porque eso sí que si yo viviera eternamente sería todo menos el paraíso. Amemos un poquito más a la muerte, la desaparición, el chao, hasta aquí no más. Hay una sola muerte que es realmente insoportable. Es la muerte de la humanidad. Es el hecho de que no haya mañana ningún ser humano para, por ejemplo, apreciar las palabras que le estoy dando hoy, para apreciar una variación de Johann Sebastian Bach, un cuadro de Joan Miró. Realmente, la muerte es muy útil. para la vida. Piénsalo.
¿Cuántas cosas diferentes puso Dios en este mundo? Y también nos hizo libres de elegir y hallar el rumbo. No perder el equilibrio por lograr lo que uno quiere y caer en un abismo por no hacer lo que se debe. Y la prueba más difícil que se enfrenta en el camino es sin duda la batalla que se da con uno mismo. Y aparece el egoísmo con su afán de dar pelea, y se suma la mentira para desatar la guerra. Tan fuerte la tormenta que uno va quedando solo como un faro entre la niebla. Se da con uno mismo y aparece el egoísmo con su afán de dar pelea, y se suma la mentira para desatar la guerra. Se pone cuesta arriba y es tan fuerte la tormenta que uno va quedando solo como un faro entre la niebla. Y al final es uno mismo el que ignora la conciencia, el que avanza contramano sin medir las consecuencias. Porque soy mi propio esclavo cuando digo lo que pienso, porque a veces hago daño cuando callo lo que siento. Y se pone cuesta arriba y es tan fuerte la quedando solo como un faro entre la niebla.
Bien, y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 16 de octubre de 2022. En los anuncios de interés público, dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera vacuna de refuerzo o quinta dosis para aquellos adultos mayores de 18 años. También el gobierno de Quebec ha anunciado que ya está disponible la vacuna para los niños. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés o en inglés. Eventos. El concierto o los conciertos del conjunto Quilapayún, ambas presentaciones en Montreal, así como sus conciertos en Ottawa y Toronto, han sido cancelados. No hay, pues, presentación de Quilapayún. Los que compraron entradas serán reembolsados. Y continúa el mes de la herencia latinoamericana. En el marco de esta celebración hay una serie de actividades. Invitamos a la gente a consultar el programa, porque es un programa bastante largo, y consultar el programa en el sitio web o en Facebook. En algunas de las actividades, el taller de apreciación musical, la música que vive en Montreal, esto es el miércoles 19 de octubre a las 19 horas en el café de la Bibliothèque Aunsic en el 545 Fleury Este, presentado por Guillermo Glujowski con la música de Rodrigo Simoes. Actividad gratuita. Otra actividad es la jornada del libro. Esto es el sábado 22 de octubre desde las 11 de la mañana y hasta las 5 de la tarde en la Maison de la Culture Claude Leveillé en el 911 Jean Talon Este, Metro Jean Talon. Y publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, Présence Chilienne dans la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Université de Montréal en el 3200 Jean Brion, en la librería Bertrand, 430 Saint-Jean, Viejo Montreal, en el internet en la cadena Renobre, en librería Argos en el 1841A Saint-Catherine Oeste y en la librería Paragraph 2220 McGill College Avenue, precio $10 más impuesto. El tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Soleado con una temperatura máxima de 14 grados. Para esta noche, despejado con una mínima de 6 grados. Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time, a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com. O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook. Y Tiempo Latino se ha escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca. Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa.
This is Gregory Majewski of Oakdale, Connecticut. You're listening to International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, October the 16th. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill, and we thank you for tuning in. We are on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, with 854 members. You can join the group anytime you like. Just search for International Radio Report on Facebook. And our show is archived on our YouTube channel. You can listen to the shows there at your convenience. Again, search there for International Radio Report. We have 710 subscribers. You can subscribe to the channel if you like and receive notices each time a new show is posted up there. So we are going to take you around the world a little bit. A lot of U.S. information, though, in this particular show. Some of it domestic, some of it shortwave. So anyways, we'll get going with an update from Radio Miami International, WRMI. And, of course, we've talked about the effects on their transmitter site down in southern Florida because of Hurricane Ian. You know, once they got out into the fields and checking the damage, it sounds like there was a lot more damage than they had initially thought. Yep. And that has caused them to put out a plea for financial assistance. The story comes from Paul McLean at Radio World, and the headline, Save Our Shortwave, says WRMI. Shortwave broadcaster WRMI is asking for financial help to rebuild its large antenna facility in Okeechobee, Florida. Hurricane Ian damage to our antenna farm is so extensive, it has knocked us off the air to Europe and Africa, wrote General Manager Jeff White in an appeal on a GoFundMe site. We need your help to get us back on the air again to transmit to Europe and Africa news, information, religious programming, and entertainment. Radio Miami, of course, is an international commercial shortwave station with studios in Miami and studios and transmitters in Okeechobee. It sells blocks of airtime to outside organizations. Entities with time blocks on its schedule include Radio Ukraine International, Radio Slovakia, The Overcomer Ministry, Supreme Master TV, and Radio Liberty. Jeff White says the organization does not have insurance for its antenna farm due to the cost of the insurance premiums. In an article by James Careless for Radio World, he writes, the vast Okeechobee, Florida antenna farm of privately owned WRMI, which transmits programming to the world via shortwave, was hit hard by Hurricane Ian. WRMI has 14 transmitters and 23 antenna systems. We had winds up around 100 miles per hour, and that did a real number on our antenna field, said Jeff White. So we have had three antennas that are probably destroyed beyond repair, one to Europe, one to Africa, and one to Central America and the South Pacific. Your help will allow WRMI to rebuild the transmission towers destroyed by Hurricane Ian that are pointed towards Europe and Africa. Hurricane Ian knocked us down pretty hard, but we know with your help, we can rise back up and provide programming in many languages again to Europe and Africa. We were getting reports early from them after the hurricane that, you know, they were getting some of the transmitters back up and maintenance was being done, but it seems a portion of the site probably seems to have been hit harder than others.
On the first day or two, they were mentioning that, you know, they were hoping to have a lot of the frequencies back, but it became obvious that the work to be done seems to be much bigger because they were getting the frequencies one at a time every day, trying to say, well, we'll try to get, you know, that one for tomorrow. And they got a number of the frequencies back. Today, as we're recording, they had 15770 back in service, which is one of the big ones that goes to Europe. They were saying that the transmitter site is pretty much in a swamp, basically. You know, it's a difficult situation when you want to go out there and fix things. But they were actually mentioning that they needed bigger trucks and they needed different equipment because what they had was not enough. It was just stuck in mud and they just couldn't move and it was really difficult to get out there.
Yeah, I'm just taking a look at the GoFundMe site. They had put a goal of $60,000 US. As we're recording on Friday evening, they are at $2,520 of donations. They have a long way to go to reach $60,000. One of the reports I was reading said one of the things that needed a lot of replacement was they use hydro or telephone poles to support a lot of the antennas and other structures on the site. And many of those were just mowed down in the storm. So getting those reset, new ones brought in, reset into that very sort of mucky ground that they transmit from. It's going to be quite a task. So we'll see how they make out.
Yeah.
Insurance, I guess any kind of insurance in Florida is expensive. You know, a site that big that's got so many things sticking that high up in the air, you'd think you'd want to protect them, even if the insurance bill is quite high. I'm sure the damage is probably higher than the insurance was. You take a risk by leaving it uninsured, and now they're having to try to figure out how to get it back. So,
and what I would say is, if you've got a couple of dollars to spare, you know, I still have in mind that evening when both Cuba and WRMI were all off. The shortwave bands in North America were quiet like I've never heard.
Yeah.
And we would be losing something big. WRMI has a lot of relays that are, you know, interesting to listen to. So think about it. The WRMI survival, it's even part of what's on shortwave in North America. That's the deal here.
Yeah.
Jim Bohannon retires from syndicated talk radio. Rich Valdez to take over. This is via Radio Insight. If you listen to AM talk radio or have done any late-night DXing on the medium wave band, you probably recognize the name and the voice of Jim Bohannon. After nearly 30 years hosting a late-night syndicated talk show, Westwood One's Jim Bohannon retired from his 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern show at the end of the week. The 78-year-old Bohannon has been off the air for most of the summer due to unnamed health reasons, which is being stated as the reason for his retirement from the show. His final program was Friday, October 14th. Bohannon has hosted his program for Westwood One and predecessor Mutual since succeeding Larry King in 1993. Prior to hosting the show, he began his career at KLWT, Lebanon, Missouri, in 1960, and worked at multiple Washington, D.C. stations, including 980 WRC, 1050 WGAY, and 1500 WTOP, 1000 WCFL, Chicago, through which he joined Mutual in 1983 as a newscaster and later became King's primary or daily nighttime town hall with my guests, callers, and all of America. Conservative talker Rich Valdez will take over the time slot on Westwood One. Valdez currently serves as a producer and guest host for The Mark Levin Show and hosts a weekend show on Odyssey's 1210 WPHD Philadelphia. He has also hosted for WABC New York and worked for multiple conservative organizations. That's definitely a voice that you will, you know, you recognize when you hear Jim Bohannon. You know, like we were talking, we are hearing these big names from time to time. They're retiring, going away. Well, it's, I guess, an end of an era of the big famous broadcasters on the air.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very long career, and having replaced Larry King as well. I remember DXing back in the 80s and early 90s, and it was Larry King across the band at night, overnight. And then Jim Bohannon surfaced, has been going for so long. So I guess we'll be hearing, I guess Valdez is taking over right away. We'll have to check the bands and see if that voice is popping up where we were hearing Bohannon across the medium wave dial. Another name, this one, after reading the obituary here, I didn't realize just how famous this guy was. The name was not really familiar to me, and I guess it's because he spent a lot of his time on the West Coast. The article is headlined Art LeBeau, a DJ who popularized oldies but goodies, has died at 97. This comes from Neil Genslinger and Annabelle Williams in the New York Times. And the article, we'll put the link up, is much longer than what we're going to feature here on the show today. You might want to read the rest of it when we post it up. Art LeBeau, a disc jockey who, as a mainstay of the West Coast airwaves for decades, bridged racial divides through his music selections and live shows, reached listeners in a new way by allowing on-air dedications and helped make the phrase oldies but goodies, ubiquitous, died on Friday at his home in Palm Springs, California. He was 97. An announcement on his Facebook page said the cause was pneumonia. Arthur Egonian was his real name, and he was born August the 7th, 1925, in Salt Lake City, to a family of Armenian immigrants. His obsession with radio began at a young age. His sister gave him his first radio for his 8th birthday. And in a 2020 interview with the Press Enterprise, he recalled being amazed by the box that talks. That experience sparked his interest in radio and in the radio scene. LeBeau worked in radio for almost 80 years. In 1973, the San Francisco Examiner was already calling him the Dean of Los Angeles Rock and Roll Broadcasting, and he would be on the air for almost half a century more after that. He started in the business as a teenager during World War II, working at a San Francisco station, KSAN, before gravitating to KPMO in Pomona and KCMJ in Palm Springs. The idea of a disc jockey with a distinctive personality had not yet become the norm in radio. At KCMJ, a CBS affiliate, he was mostly an announcer doing station IDs and such between radio soap operas. But for an hour, late at night, he was allowed to play music. He featured big bands, crooners, and other sounds of the day. But his taste changed, his selections changed, and sometimes he was at the front edge of the evolution. In 1954, by then working in Los Angeles, LeBeau was largely responsible for making the Chords song Shaboom, sometimes cited as the first rock and roll record, a number one L.A. song. He also saw the appeal of oldies, practically before they were old. Around 1949, he started working at KRKD in Los Angeles, selling advertising by day and playing music in the wee hours. He thought an all-night restaurant, a Scrivener's Drive-In, might be interested in advertising on his all-night show. So he paid a visit and sold the owner, Paul Scrivener, some spots. A few months later, he made a suggestion. You know, that show is really pretty good, Mr. LeBeau, in a 2016 interview with the Desert Sun of Palm Springs, recalled Mr. Scrivener, saying, why couldn't you do that show from my drive-in? So I did. He would broadcast from the restaurant. He moved to KLXA and then to KPOP during that period, stopping by cars and asking the occupants to pick a song from a list. At the bottom of the list, the San Francisco Examiner wrote in 1973, were a half dozen oldies titles, songs that at that time no more than 3 years old. And when this portion of the list began to show the heaviest action, LeBeau wondered if there might be something to this. Early in his career, LeBeau began taking requests on the air, allowing listeners to dedicate a song to a friend, love interest, or other special person. It became one of his signatures. Few, if any, other disc jockeys were doing that in the early days. Some callers would dedicate a song to a loved one who was incarcerated, and early on, Mr. LeBeau welcomed the Black and Mexican callers, a barrier-breaking thing to do at that time. In the 1950s, he also began producing and serving as MC at live music shows at the American Legion Stadium in El Monte, a blue-collar city east of Los Angeles, that were known for the racially diverse crowd they attracted. The Penguins, Ritchie Valens, and countless other acts performed at those El Monte shows. LeBeau was still producing live shows right into his 90s. So again, we lost Bohannon from the airwaves, but we, you know, he's still out there. But in the case of LeBeau, he is has sadly passed away. As I said, I really didn't know a lot about this guy, but certainly was a sounded like a real pioneer in a lot of different fields in radio broadcasting.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting to see all these personalities of radio from years past and what they'll do, where they're going to do it, and these crazy ideas that pop up and, well, let's broadcast, you know, from a drive-in or whatever. And So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun this week was quieter than the past few weeks. We had a lot of sunspots, but they're kind of dissipating and it's a little quieter. One of the interesting spots was the famous huge spot, which was 3112. And we were expecting that huge sunspot to erupt with huge flares, maybe X flares, and it did nothing. And it's just interesting because that's just showing us where our knowledge is so limited of the sun in general. So quiet conditions right now are happening. The sunspot number is 57. Solar reflects around 140. Conditions were most of the time quiet to sometimes unsettled because of solar wind, but in general, it wasn't too bad. There's no coronal holes to create any problems for the days to come. Things can change really fast. You know, we're in the higher solar activity now, so sunspots appear on the sun. Just like spontaneously almost. And you never know what could happen. But the conditions are great. And with my new ham rig, a Yaesu FTD-X10, I could actually be there and see that the conditions were amazing for me to make contacts, especially to Europe and even to South America. So what you need to do is exactly what I did. Turn on a radio and listen.
I'm David Bochner of Guelph, Ontario, and I get my weekly radio news on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Alex Jones, which mocks $965 million Sandy Hook verdict. This is via Yahoo News. Alex Jones was nowhere to be found in a Connecticut courtroom on Wednesday as a jury ordered the InfoWars host to pay nearly $1 billion in compensatory damages to the families of Sandy Hook victims. Instead, the conspiracy theorist was live-streaming and laughing at the monumental verdict, assuring his viewers that he had no plans to actually pay what is owed. "Do these people actually think they're getting any of this money?" he said, according to the NBC News. Jones spent years pushing false theories that 2012 Sandy Hook elementary shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, in which 20 first graders and 6 adults were killed, was a government hoax aimed at restricting gun access. As the damages continued to mount on Wednesday, Jones mocked the verdict in an emergency live broadcast on his website. "This must be what hell's like," he said. According to NBC News reporter Ben Collins, "They just read out the damages even though you don't got the money." On his live stream, Jones said he hoped there would be a cap on the amount of damages and told viewers that he had lost count as the jury continued to read. Harry Littman, a lawyer and political commentator, told MSNBC that the death could follow Jones forever. Talking about such outside numbers that even if he's able to bob and weave some, I just don't see how he winds up anything but basically broke now for the rest of his life. At the conclusion of the jury's order, Jones, in a return to form, suggested that the hefty charge was a scare tactic. "They wanted to scare us," he said, according to Collins. "We're not going away. We're not going to stop." In a press conference following the court proceedings, attorneys for the Sandy Hook family said they would scrutinize Jones' assets to determine what is available. "Rest assured that we will be coordinating to ensure those assets are available for recovery for the victims," lawyer Chris Matthews said. Another attorney suggested that Jones has made millions off his lies. How much beet juice has he sold? How much bogus iodine supplements? Whatever else he sells at great markup to his gullible listeners, lawyer Josh Korskoff said. During his Wednesday live stream, Jones continued to solicit his viewers for donations towards his legal fees and pushed his audience to purchase his Vitamineral Fusion from the InfoWars store. The $965 million in defamation awards ordered Wednesday in Connecticut is in addition to the nearly $50 million Jones was ordered by a Texas jury to pay to the parents of Sandy Hook victim Jesse Lewis in August. So that's a lot of money, and his selling of supplements and all sorts of survival gear is apparently making a lot of cash for the guy. So I don't know how this is going to end up and where he's going to end up maybe paying this or finding a way to escape this amount of money, but he's in trouble. And well, you just say something that is, you know, as blatantly a lie, you're going to pay for the consequences at some point.
Yeah, it certainly looks like that. What we're seeing online, too, now is a lot of people criticizing stations that carry his programming, including WWCR on shortwave. You know, they're saying, how can that station live with itself, you know, carrying a show like this?
Yep.
But again, you know, it comes down to people purchasing airtime, and, you know, they have these stations that, I guess, you know, really need the income. And he's looking for places to put his programming, and they match up and away they go. But like you said, this is really pushing the limits and probably pushed it over the edge.
Yep.
It's just an amazing amount of money. How they arrived at that particular figure is hard to say. I'm sure we'll hear more about it
Definitely.
As he tries to fight it and avoid, you know, paying anybody any money.
Definitely.
Except the people he pays to put his program on the
radio.
that will probably continue somehow.
There's money for that.
So we move on to Europe, and we have a story coming out of Radio Magazine on Facebook via Mike Terry and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The end of RTL Luxembourg 234 kilohertz long wave coming up on December 31st. The decision has just been made. Facing the energy crisis, the M6 group, RTL, so they will cease broadcasting on long wave starting January the 1st, a measure that aims to save more than 600 megawatt hours per year. The listeners will have to find another way to listen. The FM, whose coverage in France is imperfect, the DAB Plus that covers France is embryonic, TV stations, if they have some sort of converter box or whatever, they can apparently get RTL, or they'll have to blow up the internet package by logging into RTL.fr or mobile apps if the big long-wave listener, often elderly, is connected to the radio station. So everything seems to be in place to inform the audience. Broadcasting posts have been coming out for the last few months. The auditor relations service is ready to receive calls or emails, contact.antenne@rtl.fr. RTL M6 Auditeur Relations, 56 Avenue Charles de Gaulle, Neuilly-sur-Seine in France. A page of history is turning. RTL has been broadcasting since 1933. It remains as French-speaking stations on long wave, which are audible in France, Morocco with Medi 1, Nador 171, Radio Television Algérienne Channel 3 in Tipaza on 254. The following countries are still on long wave: Great Britain on 198, Ireland on 252, which was formerly RTL Atlantic transmitter, Iceland 189 and 207, Denmark on 243, Poland on 225, and Romania on 153 kilohertz. So these long wave stations, North Americans are generally not familiar with long wave.
Yeah.
It's something we've never had here. But these are big, big powerhouse stations in Europe and North Africa in particular, and they cover huge expanses of territory on long wave. But they've been dropping regularly over the past couple of years now, and you know, as they list out there, there's not a lot of them left, and we kind of wonder if the rest of them may be going the same way.
One of the things also that I didn't think about, but as the Russian gas isn't going into Europe much, and there's a lot of electricity that is generated with that, they're trying to save energy everywhere, and the transmitters are bad in the amount of energy that they use to transmit signals. It could accelerate some of the stations' demise because of that reason.
Yeah, some of these long-wave transmitters, you're talking some that are megawatt, you know, and several hundred thousand watts as well. So, yeah, they can eat up energy pretty quickly. So that could definitely have an impact, not only on these long-wave stations, but, you know, we're starting to hear some other sites on shortwave that may be cutting back or shutting down completely. That may have the same effect on lack of resources to keep them running.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, we have a few things going on next weekend for you. One that's carrying on for the whole week, actually, is the ARRL School Club Roundup. And these are amateur radio clubs that are set up in schools across, I guess, across the world, but mainly North America. It's put together by the American Radio Relay League. It's going to run from 1300 Zulu October 17th all the way through 2359 Zulu on the 21st of October. There are two of these events each year, one in October and one in February. The five-day event runs Monday through Friday. And a station may operate no more than 6 hours out of a 24-hour period and a maximum of 24 hours through the 107-hour week-long event. So you'll find them on all the amateur bands except 60, 30, 17, and 12 meters, and phone and CW are permitted during this activity.
We have the AGCW semi-automatic key evening. 1900 Zulu to 2030 Zulu, October 19th, organized by the German Telegraphy Activity Group. That's on 80 meters only, and it's CW.
The Netherlands Telegraphy Club is holding a CUSO party, 1900 to 2000 Zulu, so just an hour, October the 20th, 80, 40, and 20 meters, and that also is CW only.
And there's the Stu Perry Top Band Challenge. 1500 Zulu, October 22nd to 1500 Zulu, October 23rd, organized by the Boring Amateur Radio Club. And the band is 160 meters only and CW.
That's an interesting one to test out your 160 meter band capabilities. That's a tough band, to have good antennas for that band, especially if you don't have a lot of property around.
Oh, yeah.
So you might want to give that one a shot if you're into CW.
So, the time's already gone.
Yeah, we squeezed quite a bit in there. We'll put links to all of these stories up on the Facebook group so you can check them out. And the show will be up on YouTube a little bit later today for you to check out again or if you missed it live. So, that will do it for us. We thank you for tuning in this week. We'll do it next week once again here on CKUT with our International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Radio Luxembourg, le grand poste international. Here, Radio Luxembourg, der große internationale Sender.
The best of everything.
On Radio Luxembourg.
205, 206, 207.
Quality counts on
208, the station of the stars, Radio Luxembourg.
Everything's great.
Le dernier vaccin contre la COVID-19 remonte à plus de 5 mois. C'est le moment d'aller chercher une nouvelle dose. Faire le plein d'anticorps permet de réduire le risque d'avoir ou de transmettre le virus, en plus de contribuer à diminuer le nombre d'hospitalisations et de décès liés à la COVID-19. Pour une meilleure protection contre le virus, prenez rendez-vous au québec.ca/vaccin-COVID et suivez la séquence de vaccination recommandée. La vaccination contre la COVID-19, un moyen de nous protéger plus longtemps. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
I slept too little and drank too much. My noses anyway. Get out of bed like this. Oh, Christ.
Rise and shine with CKUT 90.3 FM.